I've been through some testing and trials that felt like a detour that went on for miles. But standing here now looking back, I can say, Lord, I'm thankful. Some storms I thought I would never survive, but here I am feeling so strong and alive. The darkness is past and the morning is bright, and I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful.
I battle giants of failure and fear, shadows of doubt where my hope is unclear. But all along, Lord, you were hovering near, and I'm thankful. All of my sins were a thundering roar, the echo, the guilt that I could not ignore. But it's nailed to the cross, and I hear it no more, and I'm thankful.
Lord, I'm thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful.
Amen. Thank you for that special. If you get your Bibles in your hands, looking forward to having Brother Stolnaker preach for us this evening. And again, thankful for this couple and being willing to go to the country of Nicaragua to give their lives to reach them with the gospel. And so want to hear from our missionary candidate tonight. So Brother Jared, if you would come tonight, looking forward to hearing you preach.
All right, well, good evening again, church family. Take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, and we will be in chapter number 4. Again, at the failure of repeating myself too much, just want to say thank you again. We're glad to be here. Matthew chapter number 4, and we'll be looking at a couple of verses here. Please, again, encourage you to stop by the display table. We'd love to hand a prayer card to you, and if you have any questions about Nicaragua, what the Lord has called us to do, or anything, please stop by. We'd love to answer your questions. And Matthew chapter 4, look with me in verse number 18, and I'll go ahead and read verses 18 down through verse 22. And we'll say a word of prayer, and we'll get right into the Word of God. The Bible says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw the two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Let's pray. Father, we love you and we're grateful that we can be in your house tonight. Lord, thank you for your word. And I pray that you'd help us as we open it now and look to it. Pray that your spirit would take your word and would do a work in our hearts. Pray our ears and our hearts would be open. And Father, we would not just be challenged, but changed. Father, I pray for your help as I communicate the truth from your word. And pray that, Lord, all of us would be challenged to do more for the cause of missions right here at home, but also around the world. We love you and we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. men. Matthew chapter 4 is a familiar story. Most of you probably know it very well. This is the story towards the end of the chapter, the passage that we just read. Jesus is calling the disciples unto himself. And in this passage specifically, we find that he calls Andrew and Peter to follow him. And then a little while later, he calls James and John to follow him and to be his disciples. Now, it's important to know right at the beginning that that for these four men, this was not their first interaction with Jesus Christ. They had already believed on Jesus Christ. In other passages, we can find that Peter and Andrew had gone to hear Jesus Christ. And so obviously, they had some sort of relationship already with Christ. And yet, Christ was coming to them in this manner, and he was calling them to take another step, to grow a little more, to do a little more for him. He was calling them to not just be believers on him, but he wanted them to be followers of him. Now, I think it's interesting to note that the word followers in our modern English language has become a little diluted. And when we think of followers, we think of social media, and you think of these celebrities and people that have millions and millions and millions of followers. And of course, in that sense, the word followers means little more than maybe a casual fan or someone that is modestly interested in that person, and so they follow them on social media so they can hear and see and learn a little bit more about their life. But what Christ was calling these men to do was not casual. It was not superficial. He wanted them to be committed and devoted disciples of Jesus Christ. He was calling them to take that next step, to draw closer to him, to go from being just a fan to being a follower of Jesus Christ. And so I think a question that we should all ask ourselves tonight is, am I a follower of Christ? I think if you ask that question to a group of Christians in this size, most of us would say, either out loud or answer in our own hearts, that yes, I am a follower of Christ. But are you? Am I truly? It's something that we say, you know, I want to follow Jesus, and we sing the hymns, you know, all to Jesus, I surrender, all to him I freely give. And we talk about how we are following Christ and we are following God and how we want to be a follower of him. But I think sometimes we never stop to really define what that means. And I think as we look at this passage and at this story, we find that in the example of these four men, Simon or Peter and Andrew and James and John, it's defined for us what it means to be a follower of Christ. And let's take this, what we see in God's word, and let's hold it up and compare it to our lives, and then let's ask ourselves the question, am I truly a follower of Christ? But I think that Christ is obviously, certainly, calling all of us tonight to be a true and a committed and a devoted follower of him. God does not want fans, he wants followers. God does not want people, you know, that like him. He wants people that will love him and that will serve him with their life. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? And what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? As we look at this passage, I think this passage answers that for us. But we see, first of all, that following Jesus begins with recognizing that he is worthy. We find that Peter and Andrew and James and John, they all had to recognize and make a conscious decision that Christ was worthy to them, that he was worth it, that he deserved their fellowship, that he deserved them leaving behind the different things that they would have to leave behind. And he was worth it. He was worthy. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." And you and I understand that because he is our creator, because he is the one who has given to us life and has given to us the things that we possess and the blessings that we have, he has a right over us. But beyond that, not only is he our creator, but he is our redeemer. And so twofold, we are indebted to him. And for him to come to us and ask us to be true and committed and devoted followers of him is not out of reason. And so really, it begins with understanding that Christ is worthy. And we find that these men had to make that choice. If they didn't believe that he was worthy, they would have continued on in their occupations. They would continue on being fishermen and fishing, for their livelihood. But they understood and they recognized and they made the decision that Christ is worthy. And so they chose to be followers of Christ. Christ was giving to them the opportunity to stop living for the temporal, for things that would not matter and would not last after they were gone. And he was giving to them the opportunity to live for the eternal. And really, if you think about it, which is better? Living for something temporal, catching fish, that being the sole focus and purpose and aim of your life, being a fisherman. And obviously, we're not belittling hard work. And that's a very good thing. But there is a difference. You can work at something, but that not be the focus and aim and goal of your life. He was giving them the opportunity to, you know, they had to decide, am I going to catch fish or am I going to follow Christ? And they had to make the decision, is Christ worthy? And truly, when we think about our own lives and how we are following Christ, that's a decision that we all must all make. You realize that coming faithfully to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and being involved and going out soul winning, you know, we do those things not because we have nothing else to do. Life is full of things, and you know, it's the job and the kids and all of these other things that we have to do in life, but you must make a conscious decision that yes, you know, it will cost me a little bit, but being faithful to church is important. It will cost me a little bit, but going out soul winning every week and telling others about the gospel, it's worth it. Christ is worth it. He deserves that from my life. I think sadly, many times with the testimony of our lives, though it may not be the testimony of our lips, we say that Christ is not worthy. Christ isn't worthy of faithfulness and commitment to his local church. Christ is not worthy of us taking time out of our week to share the gospel and tell others about Christ. Christ is not worthy of our tithe, and Christ is not worthy of our service and our involvement in his local church. You must make the decision, is Christ worth it? And many times we may say that he's worth it with our mouths, but oftentimes our life can say the exact opposite. And so we find that Peter and James and John and Andrew, they had to make the decision, is Christ worth it? Is he worthy? And we understand that because of who he is, because of all that he has done for us, that anything that he might ask of us would not be too great, because we are indebted to him. We owe our lives, ourselves, everything about us, we owe to him because of all that he's done for us. And for him to ask of us to follow him and to be faithful to his church and to serve and to tell others about Christ and to give to missions and to give to the local church and all of these things, he's worth it. He's done enough. But many times it's almost as if though we put God on trial and we say, well, God, are you worth it? And so following Christ begins with recognizing that he is worthy. We see also here that following Jesus requires spending time with him. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And obviously we understand the rest of the story, that for the next 3 years of these men's life, they had daily contact with Jesus Christ. Daily they were spending time with him. You know, not just 15 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes, but they were spending much time with Christ, and they were learning of him, and they were watching his example, and they were learning to be like him, and they were listening to how he responded, and they were getting to know his heart and his desires. Following Jesus requires that we spend time with him. Following Jesus means that we are learning from him, and we are growing to be like him, and we are trying to understand what it is that he wants and what is it that he cares for, so that we can model that and emulate that in our own lives. And obviously, in order to understand that, it requires that we spend time with him every day. Jesus was calling these men to be with him. They would follow in his footsteps. They would spend much time with him. They would learn from him and grow to be like him. And if you and I are to follow Christ in our lives, then we must make time for him. Every day we must spend time with him. We must take time to read his word, take time to meditate on his word, and take time to spend with God in prayer, talking to him. And obviously I preach this not as someone who is the example, because I feel like this is so much for me, but all of us need to be striving to grow every day in our relationship, in our time spent with Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing how easy it is to get distracted and to spend 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 minutes invested in something that really doesn't matter? Watching a ball game, you know, listening to a debate, you know, something like that. And yet when we sit down to read God's word and to walk with him and to pray, it just seems so hard. And many times we can give in and we use as an excuse, well, you know, I'm only going to spend time with God if I want to spend time with God. But you understand, my pastor would always say that it starts as a duty, but it grows into a delight. And we find that a desire for God's word is in our hearts as Christians, but that is a desire that we must cultivate if we want it to grow. And so we need to spend time with Christ. But being a follower of Christ begins with recognizing that he's worthy. It requires that we spend time with him. As David said in Psalm 63:1, God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. David understood the importance of spending time with God every day. We must recognize that he is worthy. We must spend time with him every day. But understand that following Jesus is being willing to sacrifice to obey. Now, what was Jesus calling these men to do? He wasn't calling them to be weekend warriors, to be part-time followers of him. He was asking them to leave behind everything that they had ever known to follow him. He was asking them to leave behind their businesses and their professions and the things that they had worked all of their lives to obtain in order to follow him. He was asking them to sacrifice in order to obey. In chapter 4, verse 20, it says this, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. In verse 22, it says, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. It says that they left their nets. That was their work. It says that they left their ship. That was their possessions. It says that James and John, they left their father. That was their family. They had to sacrifice in order to obey. They obeyed even though it required much sacrifice. Notice that the Bible says that their response to Jesus' commands was that they straightway, or they immediately obeyed. Obedience is always prompt. We find that Christ was asking them to sacrifice. This was obedience that would cost them something. And no doubt, it would be nice that if in order to obey Christ, it wouldn't cost us anything. We wouldn't have to sacrifice things. But the truth is it does cost. And that's why many times we don't obey. You know, it may cost a person a job in order to be faithful to church. It may cost us 10% of our monthly income in order for us to tithe. It may cost us, a relationship with someone or a friendship because of our faith. But in order to obey, we must be willing to sacrifice. Obedience to Christ often requires sacrifice to some degree. It may be a sacrifice of time or a sacrifice of money. Christ may ask you to sacrifice living in America. Or sacrifice being with your family in order to follow him and to obey him. You may have to sacrifice your own dreams and ambitions and goals. Following Christ and obeying him will always require sacrifice. And so as we ask ourselves the question, am I a follower of Christ? Well, what does it mean to be a follower of Christ? We find that defined here, that following Christ begins with recognizing that he is worthy. It requires spending time with him. And it means that we must be willing to sacrifice in order to obey. These are the criteria. I think there's more. But these are three of the criteria. And so I ask you, are you a follower of Christ? Are you someone that you've recognized in your life that Christ is worthy? He's worthy of my obedience. He's worthy of my fellowship. He's worthy, that I would be faithful to his house, that I would give of my money to the church. He is worthy that I would tell others about him. He's worthy. It requires spending time with him. Do you spend time with Christ every day? How is your personal walk with God? It means that you must be willing to sacrifice in order to obey. But lastly, I see here that following Jesus, I love this, is fishing for men. Look at verse number 19. He says to them, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It's interesting to note, but in this verse we find a command and we find a promise. The command is follow me, and the promise is that if you follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. Could we say that a person that does not have a burden for the lost, that is not actively doing anything so that others can hear about Christ, that they are not a follower of Christ? Because Jesus here said that if you are a follower of me, then I will actively be working to make you into a fisher of men. You will be someone that tries to go out and tries to reach other people with the gospel, whether that be through giving the Faith Promise missions or through passing out a tract in the grocery store or going out soul winning with your church or telling family members about Christ. It is a natural thing for a Christian to have a desire to tell others about Christ. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. If we are followers of Christ, then we must learn and know and understand what is it that is important to God, what it is that he values. And the Bible tells us what that is in 1 Timothy 2:4, who have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3:9 says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you are a follower of Christ, then you will have a burden for the lost, and you will actively be working to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know, it's a wonderful comfort to know that whatever God asks us to do, he will enable and empower us to do. He will give us the grace that we need so that we can tell others about Christ. If he wants us to be a fisher of men, he's not going to leave us out to dry so we can figure it out on our own, but he brings people into our lives that can teach us and train us, and he gives us his word to use that does not return void. And we have his Holy Spirit living inside of us that gives us the help and the grace and the strength and the wisdom that we need so that we can fish for men. But if you're a follower of Christ, you will be a fisher of men. Notice the promise in this verse. Jesus told the disciples that if they would follow him, he would make them to be fishers of men. God will help us. God promises that if we would follow him, he would make us fishers of men. We need to trust God for his help. And isn't that what obedience is? In this case, fishing for men and telling others about the gospel. Hasn't there been a time where you have, you know, felt the Holy Spirit leading you to give a tract to someone or to tell someone about Christ, and all of those fears came up, and, well, I don't know what to say, I don't know how they're going to respond, what will people say, all of those things. And yet if you simply obey, it's amazing to see how God can use you to reach others with the gospel. We had a church a couple weeks ago in South Carolina, and the church has a kind of a park on the property, and they have a nice basketball court. And we were staying on the property in a prophet's chamber, and we had really not a whole lot going on during the day. And one day while we were there, the kids were resting, and some guys showed up to play basketball on the courts. And I thought, I need to go over there and give them a track and talk to them about the Lord. Well, some of them left, and one stayed, and, you know, it's kind of that, oh, I need to go, but, you know, feel that awkwardness or whatever you want to call it. And so finally, I went up, and I approached a young man. His name was Caleb, and I said, hey, man, you know, I'm a missionary, and we're here with the church. I want to give you this invitation. And very respectful, polite. And I said, hey, man, you know, more important than that, on the back of this card, it talks about how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home. And, you know, with all the, you know, the nervousness or whatever you want to call it, the, you know, the awkwardness, you know, whatever you want to call it. And Caleb said, yeah, you know, I've been thinking about that. And he let me take him through the gospel, and he bowed his head, and he prayed. And I walked away thinking, you know, it's wonderful to know that God is with me and God will help me and he'll give the wisdom and the grace and he will work in their heart and draw them to him. All he needs is for us to obey. But if you are a follower of Christ, if I am a follower of Christ, then fishing for men, we will fish for men. What God commands, he enables. If he commands us to reach the lost and to share the gospel, he will provide all that we need so that we can fulfill that command. So I ask you, are you a follower of Christ? It's kind of something we say, right? I'm trying to follow Jesus. I'm trying to follow God. I'm a follower of God. I had a cousin, and he said, I'm running after Jesus. And if you look at his life, it didn't look like he was running after Jesus, but that's what he said. Anyways, are we followers of Christ? What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? Well, we find in this passage that if we're followers of Christ, it begins with recognizing that he's worthy. It requires that we spend time with him. It means that we are willing to sacrifice in order to obey. And following Jesus means that we will be fishers of men. We will be fishers of men. Because his promise is, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And isn't that what missions is all about? Missions is all about fishing for men. Telling other people about the gospel, people who maybe have never heard or never understood or never made their decision for Christ, and taking the gospel to them and sharing with them a clear presentation of the gospel and working to bring them to Christ so they can be saved. That's at the heart, that's at the core, this is the essence of missions, is fishing for men. So I ask you tonight, are you a follower of Christ? Are you a follower or are you a fan? Are you someone that loves God and wants to serve him and to be devoted and committed to him? Or are you casual in your Christian life? Are you casual with your faith and with your practice? Are you a follower of Christ? I heard a story not too long ago about two young men many years ago. Back in, I think, the 1600s. And I think these were two young men that understood what it meant to be followers of Christ. And that's not to say that every person that is a follower of Christ will ask them to sacrifice to the same degree as these young men. But I love the story of their life. They were two young men. They were missionaries. They were Moravian missionaries. It's interesting, but in Nicaragua, on the Atlantic coast, you can go there and you can find churches built by the Moravians. And you can find Moravian churches there. The sad part is that those churches have deteriorated and they are no longer preaching the truth. They almost are like the Catholics in the traditionalism and the cultural hold that they have with people there. But many, many years ago, in its inception, the Moravian missionary movement was very strong. And these two young men had heard about an island, I think somewhere in the South Pacific, I'm not for sure. And this island was owned by an Englishman who hated God and hated missionaries. And he would not allow missionaries to come to his island to tell his slaves about Christ. On his island, I think the population of slaves was several thousand, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. And these slaves had didn't really know anything about God or about the truth. They were not saved. And these young men heard about them, and they were burdened to reach them. And so they understood that the only way for them to get to the island, to begin working with these slaves, was to sell themselves into slavery. And so they sold themselves into slavery to this plantation owner, and they took the money that was given for their purchase, and they bought their passageway on a ship. And as they boarded the ship, and their family and their friends and people from their congregation were standing on the pier watching them, and some of them crying and emotional, knowing that they were leaving never to return, one of them stood on the deck of the ship, and he called out. He said, "May the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering." I think that young man, or those young men, understood what it means to be a follower of Christ. They were willing to sacrifice in order to obey. They were leaving behind their home and their comforts, and they were even selling themselves into slavery in order to reach these people with the gospel. They obviously had spent time with Christ. They were endeavoring to fish for men, and they had decided long ago that God, that Jesus is worthy. He is deserving. He is worth it. And I ask you tonight, are you a follower of Christ? Have you made that decision? Is he worthy to you? Are you spending time with him? Are you willing to sacrifice to obey? And are you fishing for men? Are you a follower of Christ? Or are you just a fan? Let's pray. Father, we love you and we're grateful for your word. Pray that you use it to work in our hearts. Thank you for the example of Peter and James and John and Andrew. And Lord, thank you for the example of those two young men from history, to Moravian missionaries. I pray, Lord, all of us would be challenged today to take a close look at our lives and to determine, are we followers of you? Or is that just something we say? Is it something that we actually and truly live out in our lives? And I pray, Lord, that we'd be challenged, Lord, to follow you closely, and Lord, to draw closer to you, and Lord, to be more committed and devoted to you and to your commands. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.